It's 5:30. I'm Ed Morin, and you're listening to MPB Unum Radio. Ahead on Maine Things Considered, time is growing short for those who want to get questions on next November's Maine ballot. And a vigil is held near the governor's residence to welcome Syrian and other refugees. That's all ahead. First, this news. With the Thanksgiving holiday nearly upon us, more travelers are arriving and departing from the Portland International Jetport. The increase in travel comes on the heels of that State Department worldwide travel alert due to increased terrorist threats. Patty White reports.
The scene at the Portland Jetport midday Wednesday was fairly calm, but Assistant Airport Manager Zach Sundquist says that since Monday, about 2,500 passengers a day have come through the doors. That's up from the typical 2,000 a day.
This time of year, we get a lot of passengers that haven't flown in a year. So we do recommend 90 minutes prior just to give you that extra time to get through TSA.
TSA, the Transportation Security Administration, predicts that this will be the busiest travel season in its history. While the TSA is warning about longer wait times to get through security, the State Department is reminding U.S. travelers to be on extra alert. That makes Kim Alexander of Wilton a little more concerned about her Wednesday flight from Portland to New Jersey.
You're foolish if you don't think about it, I think. But I just trust that they're taking all the precautions and they're probably on more alert because of it. So I'm hoping for everything to go well for everyone.
The travel alert is in effect through February 24th. For MPBN News, I'm Patty White.
With the idea that many people start putting up their Christmas decorations the weekend after Thanksgiving, Central Maine Power has put together a list of safety and efficiency tips. CMP spokesperson Gail Rice says one of the most important reminders is that dried Christmas tree limbs and hot lights can be a dangerous combination. She says people should make sure to keep their trees fresh by cutting the stem at a 45-degree angle, putting the tree into water right away, and watering it on a regular basis.
We also recommend that people only use lights and cords that have been factory tested and have a UL label on the packaging. Miniature lights produce much less heat and also use less energy than traditional lights.
Central Maine Power has posted the full list of safety and efficiency tips on its website. In the weather, a few passing clouds tonight, lows in the 20s for most, with low 30s along the coast. Mostly cloudy in the north tomorrow, limited sun elsewhere. Mild with highs 42 to 55, cooler along the coast. Maine voters could be asked to decide a half dozen or more questions on the statewide ballot next November if all the groups circulating petitions are successful. But those groups have only about 2 months left to collect more than 61,000 signatures, and that's a major hurdle, especially for those who got a late start in the process. Mal Leary reports.
The Maine Republican Party hopes to collect enough signatures to put its welfare and tax reform proposals before the legislature and ultimately before the voters next November. Party Chairman Rick Bennett says the campaign has gathered about 10,000 signatures so far. That means it will need to average nearly that amount every week to meet the minimum threshold on time.
Big task, a daunting task, but we are working away at it.
University of Maine at Farmington political science professor Jim Melcher says even with the party structure fired up in support of the petition drive, collecting signatures over the holidays at the pace that is needed will be difficult.
You know, they've got more behind them than a lot of petition drives typically do, but I think they've, I don't want to say impossible, but I think they're going to have to do something they're not doing now.
And Bennett says the campaign is doing things differently. He says a recent email appeal for volunteers from Governor LePage has yielded 35 more petition circulators, and he says the GOP is turning to county and municipal committees to circulate petitions, not only at party functions, but also at local community events. And Bennett says the party's voter databases are being used to identify likely petition signers.
We also have a lot of good information in our database about voters who care about these issues, and so we are able to actually focus on those voters and go visit them in their homes.
Bennett is optimistic the organizational effort will pay off with enough signatures by the February 1st filing deadline. Meanwhile, The only campaign to have its petitions validated so far is the Ranked Choice Voting Group, but others are close. Mainers for Fair Wages, which is seeking to put a minimum wage increase on the ballot, collected 30,000 signatures on Election Day and is preparing to submit petitions with 90,000 signatures to the Secretary of State. And David Boyer, with the effort to legalize, regulate, and tax the cultivation and distribution of marijuana, says the group brought in 20,000 signatures on Election Day and has enough now to technically qualify. But Boyer says more signatures will be gathered to provide a buffer against disqualified signatures.
Because, 20% of the signatures are bad, we need 20 or 25% more than the required amount to make sure that we have some valid signatures.
Boyer says the group is aiming for 20,000 signatures over the next 7 weeks through the holidays. Other petition drives are underway to force consideration of background checks in private gun sales and to increase the amount of state funding for local schools by increasing the taxes on those making more than $200,000 a year. In both cases, if the groups are not successful this February, they could submit petitions to the 2017 legislature to consider. If they're rejected by the legislature, a citizen initiative goes to the voters at referendum. For MPBN News, I'm Mal Leary.
On this Thanksgiving Eve, about 100 people picketed the front lawn of the Blaine House to protest Governor LePage's opposition to allowing 10,000 Syrian refugees admittance to the U.S. The protesters say compassion should trump fear of the refugees who are escaping what amounts to a Holocaust in their country. Susan Sharon has more.
Some took their lunch breaks to pick up signs and line up in front of the Blaine House at noon. Others, like 8th grader Jade Kurtzer of Winthrop, had the day off from school.
Since we are all being able to be dressed warm and we have a warm place to sleep, I think that the refugees should be able to have a warm place to sleep, too. They are welcome here if they need to come here.
But recent polls by Bloomberg and NBC News find that a majority of Americans oppose President Obama's plan to allow 10,000 refugees entry to the United States over the next year. Governor Paul LePage is one of them. Last week, he used his regular radio address to make his position clear.
In light of the attacks in Paris, France, I think the president's actions are irresponsible.
LePage says he, along with more than two dozen other governors, is skeptical that the U.S. has an adequate screening process to root out terrorists. And the U.S. House of Representatives, with the support of 47 Democrats, passed a bill to make it nearly impossible for the refugees to settle here.
I came down today because I feel that our governor's position and the position of so many other officials is absolutely ridiculous.
Harry Grimnitz of Reedfield says LePage and other political leaders are pandering to irrational fears and stereotypes.
It's completely backwards to believe that we are at risk of being harmed here in Maine by refugees who are escaping the absolute Holocaust that they've been facing for years.
Passing motorists mostly honked in support of the picket line, but there were several who denounced the refugees. "We don't want them," one person yelled. Marty Sewell of Augusta says she understands why.
The people who speak out against refugees are speaking out of fear. I don't think these people care less than I do. It's just that they need to look deeper at how our country started, at how our country grew.
Third grader Elliot Kerrigan of Fairfield says it's unfair to keep refugees away. Attending the vigil with her grandmother, she also carried a homemade sign. "We are not afraid," it said. For MPBN News, I'm Susan Sharon.
Homelessness in Maine dropped 13% over the past year, according to a recent annual report from the U.S. Department of Housing and Urban Development. But the point-in-time survey, where data are collected on single nights each winter, has also fluctuated dramatically over the past 5 years. 2 years ago, the same report showed a 26% jump in homelessness in Maine. And despite recent declines, there are now roughly the same number of homeless people in the state as there were in 2010. As Jay Field reports, the situation is especially tough right now in the Mid-Coast, where the Knox County Homeless Coalition has served more than 900 homeless men, women, and children over the past 22 months.
Samantha Buchanan, her 3-year-old son and 4-year-old daughter following close behind, opens the door to a renovated farmhouse and waves to the driver of an approaching school bus.
Oh, come on, no. Where's my phone?
Are they going over the church, Sam?
Yeah, they'll pull in. She'll pull into the church. Hang on.
The doors of the park bus swing open. Buchanan's oldest, an energetic, blonde-haired 7-year-old boy, jumps out and sprints for home through a driving rain.
Yeah, we can.
Go way back.
Okay, we're ready. Okay, bud, hold it, please.
Parents and kids are reuniting in the same way at roughly the same time on city streets, suburban cul-de-sacs, and rural country roads across Maine. But this homecoming is different. Samantha Buchanan and her kids don't own or rent the renovated farmhouse on a hill in Rockport. It's a homeless shelter, a place called Hospitality House.
We have been here since June 2nd.
A year before that, Buchanan and her partner, the father of her kids, bought a 210-year-old house and planned to begin fixing it up.
Turned out, you know, that the only real fixing would be to just clear the home off the property and put a new one there. So that really put us in the hole.
As winter approached, Buchanan was working 60 hours a week for $9 an hour, managing a Dunkin' Donuts. Her partner was lobstering. The family was still living in the house, but couldn't afford to heat it.
It wasn't livable. So we stayed with my mom for a while, working and still, but just it was really, really hard to get by and save up, you know, for another place to live.
The family began working with the Knox County Homeless Coalition, which found space at Hospitality House for Samantha and the kids.
We can only shelter about 30 to 35 people at any given time between this facility and our hotel rooms.
Stephanie Pym used to run her own business, turning around and rebranding struggling companies. Her experience came in handy when some people on the Mid-Coast approached her shortly after she moved to Maine 2 years ago and asked her to take over the Homeless Coalition. Under her leadership, the coalition has grown from a small startup to an agency with a $1.4 million budget and 21 full-time staffers.
Right now we have about 300 on our caseload, so we can only shelter maybe 20% of the people that we're helping. That's why we want to expand shelter capacity.
So of that 300, they're all homeless?
Yeah.
Wow.
Wow is right.
Pym says the need for more shelter isn't leveling off. If anything, she says, it's growing.
There's so many people that are, you know, a day away from being tipped over that edge. A landlord sold a house out from under them, and then they couldn't find another place to go. They're homeless. Somebody got sick and had a $25,000 bill. They're homeless. And if you think about how many people are making $8 or $9 or $10 an hour around here in the Mid-Coast and how seasonal some of the work is, it's hard.
The Mid-Coast, notes Pym, also lacks enough affordable housing. The inventory in the area is aging and often can't pass muster with the Maine State Housing Authority or local code enforcement. Many clients on the coalition's caseload, including Samantha Buchanan and her kids, have vouchers for subsidized housing but haven't been able to find a place they can afford.
This Thanksgiving will be the first holiday that they've not been home for.
Instead, Buchanan and her kids will share Thanksgiving dinner with other families at Hospitality House. Despite the recent struggles, the near future looks better than it did a few months ago. Buchanan became a certified nurse's assistant this fall and has been hired by Maine Health, where she'll make more than Dunkin' Donuts was able to pay her. The family also has a Section 8 housing voucher. It expires in early December, but Buchanan thinks she'll be able to get it extended. For MPBN News, I'm Jay Field.
12 before 6, time to check the weather forecast with meteorologist Paul Cousins.
We have much to be thankful for. No weather complications here in the Northeast. Some patchy low cloudiness will develop tonight. Otherwise, bright moonlight, 20s for most, low 30 shore roads. Thanksgiving, most benign, mostly cloudy and breezy, northern and central Maine. A few sunny intervals, Lewiston, Auburn, Camden south. Low 40s far north to the mid-50s, interior York County. Friday will be extremely mild for all mercantile motives. Showers will enter the county in the morning, not reaching western and central Maine until late afternoon. Southern and downeast sections, clouds will congregate, yet it will remain dry. Mid-40s north to 60s south. Saturday colder. Other than a few morning clouds, abundant sunshine statewide. Sunday will be dry and a little bit milder. This is meteorologist Paul Cousins for the Maine Public Broadcasting Network.
And for this Wednesday, that's Maine Things Considered. Thanks today to Keith Schwerdahl and Barbara Caridi. I'm Ed Morin. Thanks so much for listening.